An interesting thought. A moment ago, I mentioned to you that God works through the realm of His Word, His written Word, and of course His spoken Word. And we find that God tells us that there is power in preaching of the Word of God. And what I find interesting with all of that is connect that with the fact that the devil is the prince of the power of the what? Prince of the power of the air. Where do we find air at? Well, that's where we hear stuff. Isn't that true? That's an amazing thing. Sound is made by vibrations, and you got all these little particles that they vibrate and knock another one. It's kind of like taking some, you know, have you ever seen those marble things? You knock one and it just booms all of them. That you didn't want it to bounce out. And that's what sound does. And it comes into our ear. That's an amazing thing that God has created for us. If you can figure out how this evolved, I'll give you everything I own. Because it didn't. You're not going to figure it out because it was created. But it goes into the ear, and you know what it hits? It hits a bone. Yeah, and it hits a bone. And what that bone does is act like a amplifier. That's what he's doing to my voice right now. He's amplifying that, with the microphone, whatever that thing is he's got back there, and so it amplifies, makes it so it's a little bit louder. By the way, if you can't hear, raise your hands, and maybe you know Austin see you, and he'll think, man, they're being happy, or they can't hear. Okay, but anyway, see that little bone in there begins to vibrate. And as that bone vibrates, it's really interesting because that bone, then it connects to a sac that's on the inside of that, and that sac has fluid in it. And it makes that fluid vibrate up to 20,000 times a second. Interesting. And as that vibrates, that fluid goes back and forth, there's little things on top of that little sac. They're like little tiny hairs, and they go back and forth, and they got a little thing on them, and they're actually hollow. And this little thing goes up and down on these, and what happens is there's electronic things, I don't know the word for it, that is made as a result of that. Your brain's kind of electric, do you know that? And so those responses then go by the means of electricity into our brain, and that's how the brain interprets what you're just now hearing. Isn't that something? That evolved. Yeah, right. But the prince of the power of the air, the one who was out here in this medium, and he's talking about the atmosphere you and I live in, he's the God of this world. Is that not true? You know what he's going to try to do? He's going to try to foul up that speech one way or another. Seriously. He might do that in the means of help, you know, trying to garble it so as it's coming to our ears, we don't quite understand it. Perhaps it's just not quite loud enough. Perhaps it's too loud for us. A number of things that way. Or a lot of times he brings interruptions. And it's interesting because the devil nudges a lot of people and they talk during church. And what do? They disturb their neighbor. And what's that do? It acts in place of the devil, causing disturbance for them to hear the Word of God. Everybody going to sit here like this today. Amen. That'd be good. And it's interesting. God wants to speak to you and to me. The devil's going to try to keep us from it. By the way, the only tool that he has, Chad was talking on some of this stuff in Sunday school, the only tool that he has is the lie. And when you and I step away from God, we're more apt to believe a lie. That's why we need to be close to God, close to each other, to help protect each other, allow God to protect us from those things which are lies. Just interesting concept. Revelation chapter number 3. We're going to be dealing with what I'm going to call this morning mediocrity. If there's been a problem I've dealt with my entire life as a preacher of the gospel, it's mediocrity. Not in the life of God's people, but this preacher himself. Mediocrity. We get mediocre in our ways. I want us to notice here, chapter number 3, verse 14, down to verse 22. As you've probably noticed, I've done a series here on these 7 churches that are spoken of in the book of the Revelation. And this church at Laodicea is a very interesting church. And let's read here. Verse 14, we're going to read to the end of the chapter. It says, "Unto the angel, the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the precious Word of God. Lord, I tremble in my soul as I consider the awesome responsibility that is given to me to preach this marvelous gospel, to preach the truth of the Word of God. But Lord, at the same time, I fear not to preach that which is so needed in lives. And so, Lord, this morning I come to you begging you for the power and the unction of the Spirit of God. For I know that you're the one who empowers, you're the one that takes your words and causes them not only to be heard within the ear, but, Father, within the very Spirit itself. Lord, do your work today in our midst. Open our hearts to your word. Not our ears, but your our hearts, O God, that you might speak to us. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for staying. Would you please be seated? We need to very desperately realize that God, through his Holy Spirit, is speaking to us in these letters to these seven churches. In verse 22, let me read that again. "He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches." Now, we can take that as the literal ear, or we can take that as the spiritual ear, and I would take it as both. But certainly, if we are saved this morning, we need to listen to what the Spirit of God has for us. And what he might speak to you about might not be exactly the same as your brother or sister in Christ, but God wants us to have something, I believe, today. These churches that we read of here were real churches. These were real Christians that were in these churches to whom he spoke. And if we are wise, we are going to look at these remarks very carefully, understanding that God wants us to have that apply to ourselves. We cannot dismiss the accusations that are given to this church at Laodicea, nor can we dismiss the many other thoughts that we've looked at in the previous six churches. It's very interesting to me that as he begins his remarks to the church of the Laodiceans, he says this. Notice verse 14, right in the middle. "These things saith the..." Amen. "These things saith the Amen." That's an interesting word, Amen. How many of you on occasion you will say, when the preaching's going on or the singing's taking place, as I done just a while ago in some of the songs, Amen, Hallelujah. How many would say Amen once in a while? Yeah. Some of you are vocal, I can hear it. Some of you just kind of whisper to yourself, and we say amen. And we don't really often know what it means, but amen, that's an interesting word. It's a transliteration. You didn't know this, but you're speaking Greek. It's a Greek word. Amen. Now say amen.
Amen.
All right, interpret that. If you're going to speak in a foreign language, you need to interpret if you're in a church service. Isn't that true? And so we are in church, and we ought to be able to interpret that. And you say, well, what's it mean? It must mean, we say at the end of the prayers, it's the end. Is that why you're saying it while I'm preaching? You say amen to the preacher, that's not going to cause him to end. It's like saying sigum to a dog. You know, the word amen simply means truth. That's what it means. Truth. You go to the book of John, and John was used of God to write the book of Revelation. You go to the book of John, you find that John 25 times uses this term. Amen, amen. I say unto you. Do you know what the words are translated there? Verily, verily. Verily, verily. What's verily, verily mean? Truly, truly. We saw it this morning in Sunday school. John chapter 5, verse 24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me what? Hath everlasting life. What's he saying? This is truth. This is truth. And so it's very interesting to me that he starts out and he's saying, these things saith the Amen. In other words, the truth. And he says, then the faithful and true witness. God is the incarnate God of truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the what? Truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Truth always trumps opinions. Always. In inches. Tell me, how many inches from here to the floor? What do you think?
About 4 inches?
Oh, 4 feet.
48 inches. All right. Jeff, how far from here to here? What do you think?
48, 49.
Bobby, how far from here to here? About 50 inches. Okay. Sterling. We'll go over here. From here down to the floor.
47.
They're close, but they don't agree with each other. How are we going to settle this? We take out a tape measure and we measure it. Because that tape measure is what? Truth. It is truth. The word accurate was used. And that gives us the true height. We must always remember this book right here is what? The truth. It is accurate. Okay? And so when the Lord says to these Laodiceans, thus saith the Amen, he wants to remind them he knows the truth about who they are. He understands that very clearly. He also mentions here in verse 14, he's the beginning of the creation of God. Not with a beginning, but as the one who started it all. Be advised, brethren, that those who would seek to eliminate the deity of Christ are going to downplay, or they are downplaying, the very Word of God and are willing to accept what we now call the theory of evolution. By the way, theory. It's not fact. It's provably wrong. Okay? See, how can you prove it? By the truth. Okay? He said, well, scientists say. I don't care what scientists say. God says. And he said that he created it. But they're learned. Who knows everything? God. Don't be ashamed of that. Don't be afraid to stand for that. Well, they'll laugh at me. Maybe you ought to laugh at them and their poor ignorance. sad that it is. There is a spirit of Antichrist running through our land. Have you noticed? It's amazing what takes place. I heard a guy the other day said that it's wearing a pantsuit. You'll figure that out after a while. But there is a spirit of Antichrist that's running through this nation of ours. And it is opposing that which is true. Brethren, you need to understand something. We are in a battle today like we've never been before. Did you know in the city of New York, you can now be, as a business owner, fined $250,000 if somebody is working for you and they want to be referred to as Z. Or, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Shema? By the way, the Bible says that God created a man and woman. Excuse me, I got to get back here. I don't have my voice on there. God created them male and female. And I stand with Chuck Norris when he said, I was bound up in a woman's body for a few months, but then she gave birth. And I haven't been confused since. Amen? Let me get off that. I'll be messing around there all day. But there is a spirit of Antichrist today. And we need to understand something. We need to build our lives not upon that, but upon the truth of God's word rather than the error that is there. To this church comes a very impassioned response to their manner of living that serves as a very grave warning to them and to ourselves. Let me help you understand something this morning before we go any further. To this church, we find a very stern rebuke of that which is evil. Stern rebuke of that which is evil in our lives is not unkind or unloving. Our millennials today don't get it. Some of our Generation Xers, they don't get it. But if you make a judgment call, all of a sudden you are judging them to be evil, when we can look at actions and determine based upon thus saith the Lord that something is wrong. If something is contrary to biblical standards, it's not hate speech. It's telling the truth. For instance, I disapprove of many actions of our president. But that does not mean that I hate him. Can we understand there's a difference between hating actions and that which is going to hurt things and hate an individual? Can we figure that out? Are we adult enough to realize that? I mean, give you just an illustration. It bothers me greatly that we can turn a blind eye to terrorists and not even call them what they are, but all of a sudden we cannot stand up for our police department who are trying to stop terrorists. So, well, you're hateful in your speech. No, I see things that are wrong and contrary to what is right. We understand there's a difference. I believe from the Word of God, it's hatred that doesn't seek to correct that which is wrong. Let me give you, for instance, mom and dad, the Bible says, he that spareth his rod, what's a rod? Have you got one yet? Huh? Amen? Well, that's cruel. No, he that spareth his rod, you know what the next three words say? Hateth his son. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. We need to understand some things here. And so God is coming to these people. Notice verse 19. Notice what he says. As many as I what? Love, I what? Rebuke and chasten. That's out of love. We're going to look this morning, and I want us to notice two particular lessons from this church. So much can be said, so much can be preached, but there are two things I'd like for us to notice from this particular church that I believe God would have us to understand this morning. They're very simple. Number one, I look at this letter and I see the Lord is trying to say something to them. He's saying to them, you're just going through the motions. Notice verse 15. What's he say? I know thy works. Does it stop there? That thou art neither cold nor hot. How many like iced tea? Do you? How many of you are weird and like the way they do it down south with sugar in it? Some of you need sweetened up. My youngest son, pray for him. He's becoming southern. He likes sweet tea now. Mrs. Brown says, amen, I like that. I think folks in the South must get a big bargain on sugar. Is that true? I don't know. How many like hot tea? Do you like hot tea? Do you like green tea or black tea? And by the way, that's not a racist remark. We're talking about tea. Okay? Just like you got black skin or white skin, we're both the same race. We're the human race. By the way, did you notice that our Justice Department, or one of our departments of equal rights or something, now says that that is a sexist, racist remark to say that? To say that we're all of the human race. By the way, read Isaiah chapter 5 and you begin to wonder, boy, is that upon us today? They're calling right good and, right wrong and good evil. I like iced tea. I like hot tea. I can drink it black or I can drink it green. Okay? But I tell you what I don't like. I don't like room temperature tea. Do you? I got one of these fancy cups. You know, you can pour stuff in. It's supposed to keep it hot or cold for a day. And so I had some... I don't remember if it was coffee or tea in there. And I didn't realize it had been about 48 hours rather than 24 since I'd filled that up. And I tipped that thing up and I began to drink that. Oh, yuck. It had turned room temperature.
one of the worst things I think you can do is pour a cup of coffee that's been sitting there and hasn't been hot. And some people like iced coffee. I'm sorry you do, but that's all right. I'm trying to make a point here. God's saying, I wish it was hot or cold. And because you're lukewarm, he says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. You know what he's saying to these folks? He's saying they have works, but they seem to make the Lord sick. Why are they making the Lord sick? I believe there's a reason for it. They're doing stuff, but they don't have any life in it. Their heart is not involved with it. They're going through the motions. They feel obligated rather than excited to accomplish something for the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know about you. I was thrilled this morning. The choir comes up here and sings that song. And what a way to start a service off. Woof! And some of you, you're back in the back and you didn't know I was doing this. And you always come in a little bit late and you're... By the way, it's kind of like when they do the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag and you would come walking in. Just stop and enjoy it. All right? And by the way, if they're doing a national anthem, you do it with your hand over your heart, your one hand just kind of a little bit back like this, and you stand at attention, and you can sing the words if you want to or if you don't want to, but you put your hand over your heart and you stand at attention and you salute that flag because you're respecting this country that God has placed you in. It's not a time to demonstrate. Okay? That's not a time for that. I was ashamed of three players for the University of Nebraska yesterday. I'm ashamed of some pro football players. I'm ashamed of some people who have allowed others to die in their place. That song, Oh Say Can You See, that song was written by Francis Scott Key as he was on a prisoner ship. And they had told him that by morning the whole land would be taken and those prisoners would be free anyways. He'd gone out to negotiate a deal. And thus they were going to bombard Fort McHenry, which they did throughout the night. And all night long, they fired their guns. Hundreds and hundreds of ships brought barrage of cannons upon it. The flag took direct hits a number of times. The pole was broken. And yet, it was hoisted up again. And when the morning light came, and they looked, and they saw the flag, they knew we hadn't give up. And for some jerk to not respect that, I have one word for him. Well, it's a couple. Go to another country. I have buddies that died defending that flag. I have friends, and we have some in this room today. Though they lived, they were willing to die that we might be able to express our opinions. But that's not the time to express it. I didn't mean to get off on that today, but it sure felt good to get it out. You know, it's time for us to realize we're not just going through the motions. It's time to realize it's not just routine, but it's a romance with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not about doing, but it's about really getting excited in the Lord Jesus. And the problem we find in the church of Laodicea, they were doing some stuff. It was in the flesh, but it was not in the Spirit. No wonder he said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
just going through the motions. Is that what we do as far as God is concerned? Is that what we do when we sometimes read our Bible or sometimes pray or we come to church and we just go through the motions? Or are we allowing God to have that preeminent position in our lives? I believe they're not only just going through the motions, but very closely related to it. They were not aware of their true condition. Did you notice what's said in verse 17? Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. I read the article, it's been a couple of years ago, by a Filipino pastor. This pastor in the Philippines was on a particular area, or in a particular area, where the Muslims control it. And often they had been taken to task because of their beliefs, and they had suffered tremendous persecution. He had been put in jail on a number of occasions. His flock had been, they tried to disperse it on a number of occasions. They had burnt their buildings. And he said this. He said, I feel sorry for Christians in the United States of America, because they've never had the privilege to stand up for Christ in the way of persecution. They've not realized really their true condition. Outwardly, they seemed to be doing well, but the spiritual man was very deprived. We'll not go into it, but verse 18, he says, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire. He's saying to him, there's some things that are very needed in your life. And oftentimes we look and we think, well, we've got everything we need as a church. We've got a nice building. We've got all this equipment. We got these things. We got a pretty good attendance. We got this. We got that. But that does not mean that we have a good walk with the Lord. This particular church has the Lord on the outside seeking to come in. He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock, in verse 20. What's interesting to me, that comes after he has a call to them to be zealous and to repent. Which I believe he's adding to the importance of how we need to change our mind about ourselves and our true need of Him. Oftentimes we think, I'm doing pretty good. I don't know how many times I've asked people that I knew things weren't quite right. Spirit, how's it going between you? We're doing fine. It's kind of like when we were kids, liar, liar, pants on fire. We need to be able to stop and assess our condition very vividly. And so as this particular invitation goes to these people. By the way, this is not an invitation to be saved. This is an invitation to allow His presence amongst them. He says, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, what door? He said, the door of the church. And open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with us. Oh, that's how we need what we need in our lives. Is that particular presence of God. How needed it is. Christian, I ask you a question this morning. Is He knocking on your heart's door? Is He wanting to sup with you? Are you letting Him in? Are you allowing that to take place in your life? We shut God out so many different ways. I was talking about this morning. We get so busy with different things, and we allow this and that and the other thing to interfere in our walk with the Lord. It's amazing to me what we allow in our lives and how we need to invite Him in. How we need to allow that to take place. Try this wake up in the morning, say, Lord, I need you every minute today. I not only welcome you in, I want you to come in. I want you to lead me and guide me. And when my mind goes away from you a little bit, Lord, would you remind me to quit closing you out? They were unaware of their condition. We get so tied up in stuff, unaware of where we're at. Let God come in. Amen. Too many times we go through the motions. Too much we're not aware of the true condition of our hearts. What color is that?
White.
Is there a difference? Colors? Interesting thing. When we get close to God, that white purity of God, it shows us who we are. And I believe often the reason we don't realize our condition, we're not anywhere near the Lord. In our closing days, one of the most godly people I'd ever known in my life, I went to see her. And I said to her, because I wanted her to know it, she'd been an inspiration in my life. The first time I ever saw her, I was about 8 years old. It was in church. It was only the first, second time I'd ever been in church. I can still see it in my mind. As she was walking through the door into the auditorium, we'd been in a little hallway, and I saw her. And I saw her with a teenager. And she was laughing. And I watched through the years in different times that I would meet up with her. And her last few years, she became a member of Open Door Baptist Church. I honestly felt intimidated that Miss Harrington would sit in this church and listen to me preach. And I said to Gertrude, I want to thank you for showing me what purity is all about. And I saw Gertrude Harrington that morning have a very disgusted look on her face and bring her finger up and shake her head at me and tell me that was not true. Do you know why she did that? Because when you're living close to God, you know who you are. When you're next to He who is the purity, you recognize your impurity. Isaiah chapter number 6, it says that he saw the Lord high and lifted up. But it's only a few verses later, he says, I am unclean. He says, I'm undone. When he saw God, he saw himself. And the reason that we're like the Laodicean so often, we're busy doing stuff. It's not really the heart. And we're not walking close to the Lord. We're not seeing who we are. That's not a pretty picture. It's not a nice reflection you get out of the mirror when you see yourself in the light of God. Brethren, it's time we see God, that we might see who we are. And then when we see who we are, that which we do is in recognition of the greatness and magnificence of an Almighty God. And that which is mundane and that which is usual now becomes glorious and exciting. And what used to be amazing grace, how sweet the sound, changes. And it comes with force and magnitude because you've recognized it is an amazing grace. There's a difference. Mediocrity, it said in the Laodicea. I would like to say Open Door Baptist Church is Philadelphia. I would fear that God would say, no, you're Laodicea. It's not my call, that's His. But oh, how we ought to fear that in our own lives. Walk close to Him, amen. If you're today and you're under the sound of my voice, I have preached to God's people. Make no apology about that. But you can't even begin to do any of that until you accept Him as your Lord and Savior. And you're not going to do that until you see that you are a sin fouled up mess before an Almighty God. You stink in the nostrils of God. Thank God He loves us in spite of the stink. Amen. Only a mama can cuddle a little baby that's pooped his pants. Only God the Father can love us in the stench we've created. Thank you, Lord, for it. Let's stand. Lord God, today, work in our hearts. Oh God, whether saved or lost, we might see ourselves in the light of You. Not comparing ourselves with others, but realizing without You, we are nothing. Without You, we are totally immersed in sin, headed to a godless hell with no hope. But Lord, thank You that You came because You loved us. And Lord, thank You that You were willing to tell us who we are, not out of hatred, but out of love. Not because You wanted to see us out of Your presence, but because You wanted to see us in Your presence. Lord, work in our hearts this morning. If we're not walking with You, oh God, may we step out and walk down an aisle and bend our knee before a holy God and say, oh God, I need You in my life. I've let You in part-time, but oh God, it needs to be full-time. I repent. I change my mind. I'm not who I think I am. And You're much greater than I thought You really are. Oh God, help us today to see that tremendous need in our life. And we'd be willing to humble ourselves before You. Bless and work in these moments. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So piano.